T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
Shot clock winding down. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. Harden. Good! Fans behind us were daring him to shoot it. Obviously, he couldn't hear them, but he knocked it in. Westbrook into the lane. Shot clock down to 3. Harden on the move. The floater beats the shot clock and regains the lead for Houston.
Hello, Houston. Alongside Clint Sterner, I'm Jeremy Branham. Rockets doing their thing last night. They beat the Cavs, come from behind fashion, 116-110. They did their thing. They got that big lead, then they blew the big lead and kind of squeaked it out at the end. But, hey, they won, and James Harden scored 55.
Yeah, you talk about doing their thing, right? And they made shot your blood pressure through the roof a couple of times, but they were able to recover in the fourth quarter. And when it counted, they put it in the hoop, man. I tell you, Harden had a big night, 55 points. The dude lit it up from the three-point line, 10 of 18. Which, by the way, he becomes one of four guys at this point, four players in history with multiple games of 10 or more threes made. He joins Curry, who's done it. Take a wild guess how many times you think Curry's done it.
Curry's done it 37 times.
Golly, 37. 10 or more threes in a game?
I thought I nailed it whenever you said
good
that.
Good.
No. I'll say 7.
15 times.
Okay.
15 times. His teammate Thompson's done it 5. J.R. Smith was a little bit of a surprise. He's done it 3 times. That's 10 or more threes made in a game. And Harden, 10 of 18 last night from the 3-point line. 55 points. And to everybody's surprise, 5 of 5 from the free throw line.
That was the biggest thing to me, is that he scored 55 and only hit 5 free throws. Because what do we hear about Harden? Everybody criticized him. Oh, he's trying to game the system, just trying to get to the line. No, not last night. He scored 55, only shot 5 free throws.
No doubt about it. Harden should be standing on the rooftop of the tallest downtown building in Houston screaming, I put up 55 with only 5 free throws. All the criticism he gets for getting to the line and scoring 20-plus points at the line. So, but big night. Look, I mean, it was a big night, and there was times in the game where they allowed the Cleveland Cavaliers to make a big run. At one point, it was a combination of about 5 minutes between the third and the fourth quarter where they allowed Cleveland to make a 24-0 run, I believe. They scored 24 straight points. They took an 11-point lead, but they turned it around, and Harden has a big fourth quarter.
See, this is where you've been critical with Harden all year long, and not just this year. You've been critical of Harden in the past that he struggles a little bit in the fourth quarter.
It's what I want to see.
That wasn't the case last night.
It's what I want to see. You can love or hate his style of play. I mean, that's not something that's going to ever change. If you're not an ISO ball guy, you're going to be pissed off every time you watch the Rockets play. That's what he does. He's the best in the game. He's as good as some of the bigs that played back in the day that literally just caught the ball with their back to the basket and played one-on-one hoops. He's doing it from the three-point line, obviously. So there's no doubt about it. Whether you like the ISO ball or you like team ball where they're moving it and moving without the ball and they're moving the rock, regardless, if you don't like Harden style, then that's just too bad. You're going to be pissed off every time you watch him. What I'm always concerned about is he's the superstar. He's the guy that's going to handle the rock 90% of the time in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
When the game's on the line, I need him taking shots. Last night, my man put up 20 points in the fourth quarter. He alone outscored the Cleveland Cavaliers in the fourth quarter. He was 7 of 8 for 88% from the field, 4 of 4 from the three-point line. And so you're talking about a guy that again, whether I love or hate his style of play, I just want the superstar that's making $30-plus million a year in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line and the team needs something. I want to see him putting it in the hoop. I want to see him going and getting it. And sometimes if you fall short, you fall short.
Yeah.
But I want to see him aggressively going and getting it, and that's what happened last night.
I don't even care if it's the shot, to be honest with you. Like, look at some of Jordan's big moments that he's had, drawing the defense, kicking it out to John Paxson, kicking it out to Steve Kerr. But he is the playmaker. He's the guy with
yes.
the ball in his hands. If he's going to be your A player, he needs to be the guy in crunch time. And look, it was the Cleveland Cavs. They're terrible. They're a terrible basketball team.
Yeah.
But it's a good sign going forward from James Harden. I like particularly the stat in the final 8 minutes. He outscored Cleveland by himself 20-11. This is what you've been calling for James Harden to do for a very long time. Take control in the fourth quarter and crunch time of a close game, and James Harden did that last night.
Look, he did it, and I hear a lot of people talking about, well, the Cavs crumbled. They had three turnovers in the last minute of the game because the Rockets were trailing with like a minute 15 left in the game.
Would have been a terrible loss.
And some people say, well, the Cavs struggled and they turned the ball over. Well, if you're looking at it from a Rockets perspective, and if you listen to their head coach in the post-game presser, he's pretty proud of the defense they were playing.
Yeah.
And so when I was watching the game, I felt like the Rockets, they really locked down at the end of the game. Now, it's unfortunate that they're in that position, but they locked down at the end of the game and were able to get a couple of turnovers. They converted with Harden with a step-back three, and then he had a floater in the lane to take the lead. I mean, he really took control of this game on both ends of the floor in the fourth quarter when it counted, when the team needed him. It was a tight game. Whether they should have been there or not, whether the Cavs are worth the flip or not, is totally irrelevant. An opportunity presented itself for James Harden to go out there and do his thing and get a W for the Rockets, and he did it.
And on the defensive side, I mean, if we're going to be critical about the Rockets for their defense, and I was critical of Harden on that game-winning three from Sacramento, I think he missed an assignment. If we're going to be critical for them at them for that, we also have to give them a little bit of love whenever they do force three turnovers in the final 90 seconds of the game as well. So you have to give them a little bit of credit whenever they do get some defensive
yeah,
stops.
Look, JB, I think there is something to when we hear D'Antoni keep talking about the fact that the Rockets, you know, early in the season, they needed to get their legs underneath them, and some I hear him allude to essentially fatigue a lot more than you would probably prefer a basketball head coach mentioning fatigue. He mentions it a little more than you'd probably like.
Yeah, his bench is thin right now.
That's where I was going with it, right? So you look last night. Bench points. The Rockets had 14. The Cavs had 53. They just don't have anything, any production coming off the bench, particularly with Gordon hurt and guys playing big minutes. So when you talk about fatigue, if there is ever an excuse for fatigue, it's with the Rockets right now because they just don't have much coming off the bench from a production standpoint. And so you get into a game where you allow a team to have a 24-0 run, you can't rest. You know, you can't rest Westbrook. You can't rest Harden because you don't have any production coming off the bench. So if there's ever a time for an organization this early in the season to be complaining about fatigue, I think it's legit with the Rockets because the production from the bench is extremely suspect right now.
Yeah, Eric Gordon being out right now is
it's
a huge
painful,
loss.
Man.
He can't come back soon enough. I'm interested to see if the Rockets might make a move sooner rather than later to help out that bench as well, help out the rotation, help out the starters getting all those heavy minutes. It wasn't all great news yesterday. Jay Williams, ESPN basketball analyst. I'm a fan of Jay Williams. I think he does a good job for the majority of the things he talks
he's
about.
He's a lot like Harden. You cannot like him if you want
right.
to, but he's damn good at what he does.
I agree. I think he's really good. I think he's one of the best. I think he's one of the best basketball analysts in the business. He's been my top five probably. Anyways, he was really critical of James Harden and Russell Westbrook, the partnership, the pairing between the two. This morning on Get Up, here's what Jay Williams had to say.
There are trust issues in Houston.
Ooh.
It's like a Drake song. Really trust issues. And this is why I think that CP3 was a better pairing with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Their net rating is better, but the tape shows it. So as the play develops, you're going to see loose ball here. James Harden gets the ball. Okay, he catches the ball. Now look, there is 5 seconds on the shot clock. LR, look who my man is staring at. He is staring right here at James Harden. I mean, at Russell Westbrook. 5 seconds on the shot clock. Staring right at Russell Westbrook. Now, he takes a dribble. He takes a dribble. It's not even one swing. He takes a dribble. Now, we're talking about the 2016-17 MVP, correct? We're talking about one of the most prolific offensive players there is in the game. This is Batman. This is supposed to be Superman. This isn't Batman and Robin. This is Batman and Superman. That you don't even think. You swing the ball. AD is not thinking about when he gets double-teamed, swing the ball to LeBron. He just swings it. Paul George is not thinking about, do I pass the ball to Kawhi? He just swings it. My man takes a dribble, and he's thinking, is it better for me to take this shot against him 1-on-1 from out here in this pocket rather than pass the ball to a guy who's shooting 23% from the three-point line. He finally does it. He finally passes, but he forces it. He doesn't want to do that. Now, Russell Westbrook was 1-for-3 from the three-point line at that juncture. He's 1-of-4, right on mark for his shooting 25%. But that's a major issue going down the stretch. James Harden is wondering, can I trust my number two? My number two cannot shoot, which does not fit into our offense.
And you,
trust issues.
You-
Clint, he had me at trust issues. These are your two alphas. Yeah. Trust issues, that's a problem.
Yeah, look, the problem is the ISO scheme that we were just talking about. It's up to James Harden, and look, it's up to D'Antoni at this point. They've got to figure out, like, he can't want to play ISO ball and doubt Westbrook and then give it to Westbrook where he only has time on the shot clock to shoot a three. That's on Harden, right? But this is – I don't know that it's as much of a trust issue as it is – figuring out what you want to do schematically. How do you want the offense to run? Clearly, you don't want Harden holding the ball at the top of the key until there's 4 seconds and then feeding a 25% three-point shooter with no other option, right? Clearly, that's not ideal. I think it's less about trust and it's more about them figuring out how in the hell they're going to incorporate the 2016-17 MVP and James Harden. It's not the old way. What you got to do is, like, when people start bringing up Chris Paul, right? I agree that the Chris Paul James Harden combination is going to be more effective because Chris Paul could shoot it from the outside. Chris Paul was more of a true point guard instead of a scorer, and so it's a little bit different. The deal is with Westbrook, the ceiling's much higher, right? The Rocket ceiling, I think, is much higher with the Harden-Westbrook combo than it was with Harden and Paul. They've just got to figure out how to get at or near or slightly above that particular ceiling, and it's going to take a while to get there.
Yeah, I wasn't so much with trust issues either. I thought it was more about chemistry and also a philosophy on what you want to do on the offensive side of the ball. I had one problem with that sequence of play, the dribble. Like, if Harden wants to take it one-on-one, that's fine. You're one of the most efficient offensive players in the history of the game. If you want to do that, that's great.
Right.
Or swing it to Westbrook quicker. I also had problems with Westbrook shooting threes. That's not his game. He's not a good three-point shooter.
Look,
attack the rim. Create a shot for somebody else.
If Westbrook catches that rock with 5 or 6 seconds, now he's got – there was plenty of cushion. You couldn't see the video, but there was plenty of cushion. He was literally uncovered.
Yeah.
I mean, he could have dribbled to the elbow and got up a short J very, very, very easy.
And he's got a good mid-range game.
Had he had time. And look, he's as good as anybody attacking the rim, so more than likely he probably could have got all the way to the iron. So when it's all said and done, it was just poor execution. You know, I think it's convenient that's the highlight that Jason Williams grabs. And but he's got a good point. I mean, they've got to figure that out. I call it more of a chemistry deal and more of a scheme approach. He calls it trust, 6-1 way, half a dozen another. I believe at the end of the day, those two have to figure out how they can get at or near this higher Rocket ceiling because they've got two of the greatest playing right now.
I think right now, too, like at this point of the season, it's not so much about the wins and the losses. It's more about figuring out this type of stuff, figuring out how to play with each other.
It's definitely more about that. I think when it's that the big picture on the season, they've got to figure that out come playoff time, right? But when it's all said and done, as long as Harden scoring 20 points in the fourth, 4-for-4 from three-point line, 7-of-8 from the field, they're going to be all right. They got time to figure it out. That's what Harden has to keep doing.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.